B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
To the Pro Bowl. Because now, whenever you... See, this is what's so weird about, you know, playing the game and all that. Playing an actual football game with guys that had great seasons when you're trying to cut down on contact. And obviously the Pro Bowl is not played like a regular game. We know that. Yeah. But it's just, it's an odd thing. So to look at it where you play the game that is a very rough game, no matter how you slice it, no matter what game it is, Pro Bowl or regular season, still a tough sport, as you've heard. So when you look at a guy like making, like Lane Johnson, if he makes it to the Pro Bowl and makes it as an alternate, is it looked at as anything different? Like, is it earned as like a consolation prize?
Yeah, it is a consolation prize.
Okay. All right.
And you know, like your first one, like my first one was an alternate, you know, but then after that, it's kind of like, all right, you know, yeah, I need to be on that first. If it's not, if I'm not on the first ballot, then I'm not one of the three that are selected. No, I'm good.
I'm surprised that you said that, because if I go to you and I say, hey, Trey, how many Pro Bowls did you? Or I brag to people about you and I say, yeah, man, he made three or four.
I made three.
Three Pro Bowls. Nobody says to me, yeah, but wasn't he an alternate at one of them?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, my first one was an alternate.
Yeah, I know, but nobody recollects that afterwards. You know, maybe the sting right away, but afterwards, hell, Trey Thomas is a three-time Pro Bowler. He's soon to be Hall of Famer.
Adam Kaplan put it out yesterday. That's why we bring it up. I want to delve into it in a minute here. Lane Johnson being added to the NFC Pro Bowl roster. So I want to get into that a little bit more coming up in a second, but we do have to tell you how you can win up to $10,000.
97.5 The Fanatics Trust the Contest. 5K a day free money giveaway.
Presented by the New Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Download the app or go to parkscasino.com/PA and use promo code GREEN.
This hour's keyword is funds. Funds, like a fundraiser. Funds, F-U-N-D-S. Enter the keyword funds on the Fanatic app, 97.5thefanatic.com, or by texting funds to 45-45911. That's 45911 by 8:15 this morning, and we'll call you if you're randomly selected, and you'll win $1,000. Everyone that enters on our app or website will be qualified for a $10,000 grand prize. Rules for this nationwide contest are available on 97.5thefanatic.com. Enter the keyword funds on the Fanatic app, 97.5thefanatic.com, or by texting funds to 45911 by 8:15 this morning. Our Fanatic Trust the Contest 5K a day cash giveaway is presented by the all-new Parks Casino and Sportsbook app. Download the app or go to parkscasino.com/PA and use promo code GREEN. Good luck. By the way, we did have John hit us up on Twitter saying that he wants you to read more Michael Caine movie lines. Not Michael Caine.
No, it wasn't Michael.
No, Michael Caine.
No,
it wasn't. That sounds just like him. That's
great. It is.
I just want to proclaim that as a great impression of Michael Caine. It's a bally double. Anyway, it was not Michael Caine in Dark Knight that said the line, the you ideal, become legend or whatever it was.
Yeah. Because this is actually from Batman Begins. So I had the story all wrong. It was from Batman Begins.
And you use this quote where?
At Martin Luther King breakfast. I thought the quote was amazing.
Let's add that to the list of
things. Very powerful quote.
You can do that. I certainly can. And that list is very long.
But it worked.
Though. But it hit home. It hit close to home for some people. But it was actually Liam Neeson.
Yeah, Liam Neeson.
In Batman Begins.
Yeah, in Batman Begins. When Batman was thrown, when Bruce Wayne was thrown in jail.
Oh.
And Liam Neeson met him when he was inviting him to the League of Shadows.
Right.
Yeah. So that's when he gave him that quote.
And, you know, did he become Batman?
He did.
So it worked.
Yeah, it worked. He went and studied with the ninjas, and he learned how to disappear.
I mean, Martin Luther King, Liam Neeson, they're the same guy, basically.
According to Kyrie Irving, but all of them are not him. All of them are not Kyrie Irving. That's the one thing we have to keep in mind as well.
Kyrie Irving starred in Batman Begins, according to Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, right. Wild night for the Sixers. We've been talking about it all morning long. We'll let you hear again from Kyrie Irving, who I guess got into the biggest spirit, the spirit of the holiday, I guess, yesterday when he invoked Martin Luther King Jr.'s name on the day before he did not play in the Nets Sixers game last night. Which the Sixers handled their business. Yet another game where you wish it wasn't too close for comfort, I guess, towards the end. But nonetheless, the Sixers, they took care of business of their own. Ben Simmons came out and looked great. Matisse Thybulle from start to finish looked great defensively as well. A rough night again for Tobias Harris shooting-wise. We'll get into that. And then there's also a little rumor surrounding the Sixers right now that they are in, according to Yahoo.com, they are in the running for Derrick Rose.
Number get one, it done, Chief Beef. Number, get it done.
Number one overall pick, former MVP, and a guy that obviously can still very much score at the NBA level and distribute. He averages around 25 minutes per game. He gets about 18 points per game in those 25 minutes, so very efficient. Is not a starter anymore for anyone that might be in the Wayback Machine. That's not his role. He would be coming off the bench for the Sixers. So essentially what we're telling you is, no more Howell Neto, no more Trey Burke, no more of that conversation. The guy that would be coming off the bench for you would be Derrick Rose. I think everyone here is fine with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, even though I like Trey Burke's game.
I don't hate on Trey Burke. Yeah. Not even a little bit. I like it.
But if you have to use him as a tool to get Derrick Rose.
Yes.
Trey just gave it the goodbye sign.
It was very nice seeing you. I really enjoyed watching your game. It was awesome.
So it was a wild night for the or wild afternoon, I should say, for the Sixers. And I do really enjoy the Martin Luther King Day afternoon games that happen in the NBA. Yeah. Like, for whatever reason, I don't know. I guess I enjoy the rarity of it. And it's just right there for the taking. Earlier game, I enjoy. And you look at the way that Ben Simmons went out last night. And it wasn't just the fact, 34 points is great. But let's just say if he had 24 points, right? And 10 of those points, let's say he scored 14 from the floor, and then he added another 10 from the free throw line like he did last night on 10 of 14 shooting. That is the type of Ben Simmons that I wouldn't mind seeing each and every night. And Bob, you have drilled this point home time and time again. If Ben Simmons, let's just say, did not develop that jump shot, but attacked the rim, finished, got the N1, and converted three-point plays at the foul line, then you are talking about a 20 to 30 point a night type of scorer. And you know what? At this point in the season, I'll take that from Ben Simmons. Maybe not for the rest of his career, but at least at this point in time, that's not a Ben Simmons that I'm going to ignore.
And because the way he attacked last night and it led to 34 points. Well, say if he did get the 20 points you're talking about, Mark, in a similar matter when he's driving, now you're feeding off to Joel Embiid every once in a while. Now you might be feeding off other places. The way he played yesterday, they're going to score points. And they did it in the second half, and the defense was phenomenal. But Joel Embiid can play with that type of Ben Simmons. Make no mistake about it. There's no question in my mind. When you spread the floor and allow Ben Simmons to dribble penetrate, Joel Embiid will get his baskets also.
Mm-hmm. No, it's something that I think the Sixers are going to have to figure out. But Ben playing as versatile a game as he did last night, and I'm not talking about a triple-double because we've seen Ben do that from the point guard position enough times. He was playing 4 last night, he was playing 5 last night, and he was also playing the point guard position last night. It was a very versatile game for Ben Simmons, and one of the best all-around games we've seen him play in quite some time. The bigger question is whether or not he can do that, Bob, as you just said, with Joel Embiid back in the lineup. If he comes back after the All-Star game, that'll be our first taste to see if he can do it. But imagine this. NBA trade deadline is February 6th. Imagine a week or two later, you have the NBA All-Star game. A week or so after that, not even, you have the Sixers come back. So let's just say going through March, you could have Joel Embiid back, obviously Al Horford, Ben Simmons, Josh Richardson, Tobias Harris, and then coming off the bench, you could have Derrick Rose. I think everyone's feeling a lot better about that bench game and that bench scoring going forward this season. When you are going to take on a team like the Bucks, if you do face them in the playoffs, face the Raptors, you face a team also like the Miami Heat, you face the Celtics, who the Sixers have already had success with against this season, I think everyone's feeling a lot better because now you have that secondary unit coming off the bench and actually able to tally up the points for you. That's something I would love for the Sixers to do. Yeah, Chief Beef, get it done.
Yeah, I mean, you know, think about the teams that they have to go against. Like, Toronto had Van Vliet coming off the bench, which was like this is tough to defend against this guy coming off as a scorer off the bench. Boston oftentimes, you know, Marcus Smart, whatever it may be, they have good players coming off the bench that can really lend a spark. The Sixers have a defensive guy in Thybulle coming off the bench, and I think a real glue piece. But, man, if you get that creator and that guy that puts a defense on his heels when he comes off the bench for 20 minutes a game, like a Derrick Rose, this team elevates in my mind tremendously right away.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're already getting some points from Matisse Thybulle when he was coming off the bench. You were getting some points early from James Ennis, and then he got sick and missed a couple games,
yeah,
and he hasn't been the same player since. Mm. He had a three early in the game to help out the Sixers, not much from him really after that. Furkan Korkmaz has got you some threes lately, but really you have not had a consistent scorer coming off the bench all season, really. And that's why when the idea does come up, we had a caller bring it up again a couple segments ago, talking about Al Horford coming off the bench. I'm not opposed to that. I don't care that he's making $109 million. If he's $109 million, he's making that money anyway, and now you have to figure out the best way for him to help the team. I don't know if it's the best way to go, but as of right now, take money out of the equation. There's no argument for it. If you do have another scorer coming here, for him to come off the bench and help you out. So to me, I make that happen. But the version of the Sixers that we saw last night with Ben Simmons leading the charge is the version of the Sixers you want to see going into the playoffs. Now, even without Joel Embiid, or with him coming back in a month or so, not even, if you see him come back and play the way that he has been playing, where he plays away from the basket, and that allows Ben Simmons to go down low and play a little four, play a little five like he did yesterday afternoon, then I think you have a Sixers team that can play the most consistent style of basketball, where if you do match up with the Bucks, you don't have to shoot 49-50% from the from three-point line to actually beat them in the playoffs. You can rely on more of that bully ball as this team came as advertised going into the season.
Yeah.
That's what I look to see.
Yeah, yesterday was kind of enlightening. I can just see, you know, if Ben Simmons moving forward still goes this way, I really do see pieces fitting together. I don't think this is an individual thing like, oh, well, Ben, you just got to let go off and get 30 points and, you know, the other people have to figure it out. No, I just see what he did yesterday lends itself to pieces fitting together when Joel Embiid gets back. And the one other thing real quick, Mark, you talk about the bench come playoff time. Matisse Thybulle is going to be a big part of your bench during playoff time. Usually it's scary when you have a rookie coming off the bench, but his style of game, as you said, 3 points yesterday, but had a huge impact on the game. His style of game lends you confidence to believe he's going to be able to do it in the playoffs, because it's a hustle game. It's a defensive game. It's not so much an offensive game that you need from him come playoff time.
All right, coming up, I want to get back into that Eagles conversation with Lane Johnson. And Trey, obviously you were out. You were getting a fine park named after you in your home area of DeLand, Florida.
Yeah.
Andy Reid. Back to his second Super Bowl,
yeah,
in his coaching career. 21 years he's been coaching in the NFL. You were there before he was even there. Mm. You're a bigger Eagle than Andy Reid is. I want to get your thoughts on your former coach, because we also got some players that reacted in the most optimistic way, most positive way possible. And also our fan base, our listening audience who voted yesterday, were very positive about Andy Reid, which that's I was good. Very happy to see. 610-632-0975. Time of the Fanatic, 812.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
A guy's asking me on Twitter, now I've seen it all. A guy's asking me on Twitter why I spelled out funds for the 5K a day cash giveaway. Like why I spelled out the word. And I've done it before because people are trying to win $10,000. And I don't want them to think I said something else. I thought I was being nice. And the guy's now questioning my high school education.
You were being thorough.
Damn right I was.
Because I thought you said funds, as in I'm having some funds today. F-U-N-S.
Yeah. It could be funds.
Or yeah. Funyuns, maybe. Yeah, I don't maybe. Know.
Yeah. I don't know. They're trying to win 10 grand. Yeah, I'm trying to be nice here. I'm trying to be nice for the people of Philadelphia.
By the way, 8 o'clock hour is brought to you by the wonderful people of Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. Trey, you have said it a million times on this very radio program, and you probably said it while you were a player as well. Players really like playing for Andy Reid.
Yes.
They really, really, really like playing for Andy Reid.
Mm-hmm.
He's been a coach 21 years. There's not been too many coaches that have coached that long without winning a Super Bowl.
He's been a head coach for 21 years?
21 years as a head coach. Yeah. So you look at a tight ends coach in Green Bay, and then he was a quarterbacks coach and assistant head coach in Green Bay, and then he got the head coaching job of the Philadelphia Eagles in 1999, where you were already here.
Yeah, my second year.
So they hire this quarterback coach out of Green Bay, right? They'd been to two Super Bowls. They'd won a Super Bowl. He had worked with Brett Favre. He worked with Mike Holmgren, obviously. They hire this guy. They get rid of Ray Rhodes, who drafted you.
Uh-huh.
Upon hearing Andy Reid's going to be your next head coach, what were your thoughts?
I really didn't know too much about him. You know,
nobody did.
Yeah, you know, so it was kind of like, all right, here's our coach. And Coach Reid came in, and I think my first year under Coach Reid, I think he fined me maybe 20,000-30,000, maybe a little bit more.
Was that the weight, or was that late?
With the weight. I never was late. I was only late once. One time.
Okay.
Yeah, I was only late one time in my 12-year career. But, Big Red came in and fined me a lot of money my first year under him, you know, he was just finding me left and right.
So he was announcing his presence with authority.
Oh, yeah. You know, all the rules changed right out the gate. You know, Coach Ray Rhodes was a lot more relaxed. But Big Red wasn't having it, man. He came in with the iron fist, made sure, like, look, hey, this is how you're going to do it. Made sure, you know, with the way we dress, with going out to practice, with going out on the field, how we dress going on the road trips and everything. So he was extremely thorough and did not let any of it slide. But that's how you have to be when you're a first-year coach coming in and you're changing the atmosphere of a team. You have to come in and be forceful and have your rules and make sure that, you know, it's either you abide by them or you get fined.
Mm-hmm. I got to assume a 23, 24-year-old Trey Thomas getting fined by this new coach $20,000 to $30,000. You weren't a big fan your first year.
I wasn't really tripping about it.
Oh no, okay. Yeah, yeah, I didn't know. Like some guys could take that, yeah. And I've seen it happen in the past. But was there anything in particular, Trey, that you remember when he first came in that made you say, "All right, I'll do anything for this guy"?
You know, you could just tell like he really cared about how you were. You know, it wasn't just hey, just come out here and perform on the field. He really did like off the field stuff. He was always, hey man, if you ever need to talk, I'm here. You know, just always, you know, anytime he could pull you to the side. And then after each season, like he would call me and McNabb and I, and we would have what we would call the Brett Favre and Reggie White speech. You know, and he would talk to us about how Reggie White and Brett Favre, they were always like the first ones in and the last ones out, you know, and was trying to get me and Favre and I to kind of, you know, get into that, get your mind right, get in here a little bit earlier, start putting in the extra work in, which we were doing. And then Juan just constantly on me, you know, just with the technique and stuff, you know, because you really didn't have to deal with Coach Reid as much. But he was always there and you could always talk to him. And, you know, it was always just a really good experience, especially as I continued to grow in this game. You know, I just always felt like, you know, it was like having a second father figure.
So seeing all the guys come out like Brian Westbrook and Donovan McNabb and a bunch of your former teammates, hey, good for my coach and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The interesting thing is if a guy comes in, let's just say that it's, you know, 4 years ago, Eagles fired Chip Kelly and they're bringing in a next head coach. We'll get calls here of people saying they need a guy who's a disciplinarian. They need a guy that's going to make those guys accountable, not just on the field, but off the field, and implement high school football type of practices, right? The stuff that you just laid out, how we dressed on the field, how we acted off the field, all that. Andy Reid was a guy that was a bit of a, you know, break stones.
Oh, yeah.
We would laugh that guy off the, oh, this is the pros. You can't handle guys like that. These are all professionals. And you're like, no, that's what caught our attention.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was a total, because I remember like my rookie year when we had Ray Rhodes as our coach. You know, he would let you stay over. Now, like if we played in New York, if you want to stay the night in New York after the game, you can stay over. And Ray, and we ended up, so it was five of us, like Rodney Pete, George Hagerman, and a couple other guys. And something happened where we ended up having to come in. We came in late the next day because we had to come in to the stadium or whatever. And so we had to, Rodney Pete and them told the limo driver, hey, man, just pop the hood up like something's wrong with the car. So, you know, we can, you know, it's just come up with some type of excuse. And Ray was kind of cool with it. He was like, all right, you guys are late. All right, yada, yada, yada. But Big Red, no. Big Red is like, oh, okay, all right, oh, you were late? All right, we're going to fine y'all for whatever that amount is, the max fine that he can give you. But, like, I was only late one time, and that was several years later. Well, then I was late twice in my career then. So, because I didn't only even count that time. So I was late twice in my career. So once my rookie year, probably, like, maybe 6-7 years after that, I don't know. But, yeah, man, so Big Red was not having it. But he was still care about you. You know, he always wanted to make sure that you were doing the right thing, make sure that everything was good with you. And would still joke with you, you had a good rapport with him. But, you know, you knew that if you stepped outside of what he wants you to do, that there's going to be consequences to it.
That seems like a guy, again, who wants to grab your attention and also wants you to know who's in charge. And exactly. I mean that in a positive way. Every great leader, anyone who has to lead a group of 53 men, whatever it might be, they want to let you know. They don't want there to be any question about who's in charge.
And one of the things that I thought that Big Red did a good job with us, man, he encouraged us to be what we were. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't try to become something else to play this game. Be whatever you are. If you that wildcat that's walking around in the locker room yelling stuff, be that. You know, like I used to go to the meetings, and you know those little leather Eagles helmets that they had for a while?
Yeah.
So that was what I wore throughout my time when they came. So I'm walking around the facility. I used to have on the little leather Eagles helmet all the time. And it wasn't frowned upon. It was okay.
Because you were doing you.
I'm doing me. He's like, hey, man, just do whatever you do. Just don't get arrested.
If Brian Dawkins wanted to be Wolverine, Idiot Man, whatever he called himself, that's what Brian Dawkins said.
Do that. And you know what? We're going to give you another locker. We're going to have a locker for Brian Dawkins and a locker for Weapon X. Because I need them to be whatever they are so that you can go out there and perform on the field. Like, there was a time where he just told Hugh, look, man, I need you to get on a different bus. Because Hugh would be on the back of the bus just yelling, just stuff, and it'd just be wild. But, you know, because that's how he was like, look, man, whatever you guys need to be that. And you know, that's why I think a lot of us have such a good feeling about him, because we didn't have to change. We didn't have to be anything. You know, all we had to do was follow the rules and be what we were.
I thought it was telling on Sunday when Jim Nantz had Andy Reid up on the stage, and he talked about what a good guy is and all that stuff before Reid got a chance to talk. And then they showed the players, the Kansas City players, and like bowing, you know, clapping for him. Mm-hmm. You could tell, I mean, you could just feel it, like that they appreciate Andy Reid as the coach and as the person. And I think that's, you know, that's part of his Hall of Fame legacy, that his players just absolutely adore him.
Jeremy Maclin is an interesting case because he was drafted by Andy Reid. He had a great year under Chip Kelly. And then he goes out to Kansas City with Andy Reid, mm-hmm. and he plays, and he played okay. Wasn't great, but played okay. Jeremy Maclin invited Andy Reid to his wedding. Andy Reid went, and then I believe 2 weeks later, Andy Reid cut Jeremy Maclin.
Uh-huh.
Jeremy Maclin tweets out yesterday, my man, happy for you guys, Big Red and Chiefs Kingdom. Like, that's a wild relationship to have with someone where you're still that close, where you can acknowledge not only your former teammates and, you know, your former team, and he was there for, I think, 2 seasons. And Maclin also gives a shout out to not just Andy, but Big Red, with that term of endearment that I just can never call him because I can't, you know, go nicknames with certain sports. Like, I can't go five with Donovan McNabb like you do. Mm. I can't go Big Red for Andy. But nonetheless, there's Jeremy Maclin right there with that term of endearment.
Yeah, man, and you know you can call him. Just like he showed up for McNabb's induction into the Philadelphia Sports Hall of Fame. You're in the middle of your season, and you show up for that. When he was there for Dawkins' Hall of Fame induction, I'm pretty sure he'll show up for Harold. You know, that's just how Coach Reid is, and that's the relationship that he has with the players and just the people around the facility. He was just an awesome person to be around, and really helped with me maturing into this game.
So what we got into yesterday was, from a fan's perspective, it seems like people have moved on from not animosity, but just their frustration with Andy Reid, I think, is a good way to describe it. Because when we look back on it, we always talk about the 5 years that he was here and didn't have a number one wide receiver before he got T.O. Then we also talk about not running the ball enough in those previous 5 years and really throughout his tenure here as a Eagles head coach. Then we also talk about not managing the clock. Sure, he went to 5 conference championship games, but only won one of them. Then you also talk about how he dealt with the media, coddled his players. You've heard us talk about that multiple times, and never really answered the question that he was asked. So all that was very frustrating with fans. But you talk to any player, and players will lie down on the tracks for Andy Reid.
Absolutely. And I understand, too, now, he covered us in the media, but he pushed us. You know, you knew that this it wasn't going to be easy. You know, for you to make that 53-man roster, you had to have something about you. And training camps were the worst training camps around the league. People would come from other teams and be like, what are y'all doing here? Are y'all tackling all the way to the ground? Yes, we are. You know, but I think it helped build something for us. I know that we didn't get it done by winning the Super Bowl, but I mean, man, you know, we put in a lot of work and we turned this thing around here.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought that, you know, Big Red, he did a really good job of helping mold us and build us up to be something, you know, and I thought that it was just an awesome experience.
Yeah, they built it all around you, the left tackle. Future Hall of Fame left tackle, Trey Thomas. Yeah. You think a park being named after you? Tip of the iceberg, my friend.
There we go. That's what I'm talking about.
I got to be friendly with Rick Burkholder, who was a trainer here for Andy and in Kansas City, and Rick and I belong to the same pool, so we spent a lot of time during the summer together. And to watch a grown man talk about another grown man the way that he did, and his admiration, not because he's his boss or anything like that, but his admiration for Reid as a person. And then when he would like just talk about some of the coaching decisions that he made and different ways that he went about things, that sometimes the way Rick described it was, sometimes the players and as a trainer, I didn't understand what he was doing. And then you get that, oh, moment with him. He said, you know, he said just being around him, the more he learned about football and life and how he treated people to get the most out of them was something as an adult man that he said he'll never forget. And it's something that Rick said, I'm going to equate it to my daughter's growing up. You know, like that's the kind of person that I want to try to be as far as being, you know, that leadership type.
So, Trey, the last thing I want to get into, and that's amazing, Bob, but last thing I want to get into with you, Trey, on this subject, because we talked about it a lot yesterday, is, you know, he makes it back to a Super Bowl, his second one. And I know you're an emotional man. When you see him talking about giving that Lamar Hunt trophy, or to Lamar Hunt, giving the Hunt trophy to the Hunt family, basically, what went through your mind?
That was just awesome to see him getting back to it, because I know the amount of work that he's put into it. I know the sacrifices that he has made to get to that moment. I mean, you know, hey, a lot of sacrifice goes into coaching. And I think that everyone understanding Coach Reid's life and everything that's going around his life, you've seen the sacrifices that this man has made for this game. And how can you not respect that?
I think most people, and as our Twitter poll kind of pointed out yesterday, 90% of our voting audience had a positive feeling about Andy Reid making it to the Super Bowl. 45% of it was like over the moon ecstatic. Yeah, that was an option we gave. Like, yeah, this is great, right? And then the other was, okay, oh, good for Andy. It was very few people, 10% at most, had any animosity carry over towards Andy Reid and almost begrudgingly looking at it like, oh, we made a Super Bowl, great. You know what I mean? It was good to see that. If he wins in Kansas City, it doesn't give us a Super Bowl for what happened in his first 14 years as a head coach in the league. But it is a guy that we acknowledge did help turn the franchise around, did help turn the organization around. And the Eagles, as a whole, are in a much better place because of Andy Reid's time here in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And I think most people, looking back on it, will at least acknowledge that fact.
Maybe it'll cause you to even crack a smile, Mark, if the Chiefs win this Super Bowl.
So you asked me earlier about Kyle Shanahan. If he wins, oh, good for him, right? Like, if he wins, I don't care. If Andy Reid wins, I do have a step or two above the I don't care. It's good for Andy. I have a positive feeling if Andy Reid wins a Super Bowl. I don't think, oh, what the hell, couldn't do that in 14 years here? I don't think that even a little bit.
Okay.
I don't think about that. I think about, all right, good for him.
All is forgiven.
I even hate using the term forgiveness. Because, like, I'm not losing sleep over Andy Reid not winning here in 14 years. During the 14 years, I might have lost some sleep.
Yeah.
But looking back on it, and a big part of it is because we did get to experience that parade. In no way, shape, or form, push that aside, that because we won a Super Bowl in this city recently, I in no way, shape, or form push that aside saying, oh, no, well, even if we didn't win, we'd still feel fine about Andy. Oh, no, we'd be pissed. We'd be flat out pissed off.
I thought about that a lot after the show yesterday, that if the Super Bowl hadn't been won here in 2017, how much different the fan reaction would be. And I think you almost verbatim what you said yesterday was people would be calling and say, oh, that jerk. Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. Probably.
That
but
smug, arrogant, pass happy.
I wouldn't have been there, but.
We're going to air it out now. We're going to air it out.
It's going to be a fun Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That defense against that offense, that's going to be a lot of fun.
We aired it out.
I remember. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. And finally, we're going to get into this as well. The offensive coordinator position of the Eagles is... it doesn't seem as attractive. I think
you
the Eagles
it?
Were hoping it to be. Anybody? Anybody?
Hello?
So you have some news come out over the last couple of days of a Harrell, I believe was the gentleman's name, out of USC that was called for the position and then later said, I'm good. And then you have now Mike Kafka legitimately coming out as a candidate to interview for the Eagles offensive coordinator position. A former draft pick of the Eagles out of Northwestern, was a backup quarterback here in Philadelphia, and then he went out back to Northwestern as a graduate assistant coach, and then he went to Kansas City under the Andy Reid coaching tree to become a quality control coach on the offensive side of things, and now he's the quarterback coach with Patrick Mahomes there in Kansas City. My question is, if you're willing to go to the college rankings, and you're really college ranks, and you're willing to go to a quarterback's coach who's 32 years old, not a lot of experience in the NFL, and you're not willing to go Deuce Daly, I'm hoping that other coordinator candidate is some type of whiz kid. Or is some type of guy that's going to come in here and really not revolutionize the offense, but at least be that angel on the shoulder of Doug Peterson that a guy like Frank Reich was. But when you're going back to that Frank Reich kind of season, the two seasons that he was here, that's a guy who had a hell of a lot of NFL experience that was helping Doug out. Does Mike Kafka bring that type of thing? Does he bring that type of experience? Does he bring that type of, I don't know, know-how to an offense that certainly sputtered at times last year? That's something that really does cross your mind more than once.
Yeah, well, he worked with a guy that you want kind of Carson Wentz to, the trail to follow in Patrick Mahomes. And you could do worse, I guess, if you're going for hot names, hot, items there. Like, Patrick Mahomes is pretty damn good.
Yeah.
And even if you're just bringing over ideas of stuff that you did with him for Carson Wentz, a lot of people would be happy with that.
Absolutely. And then the other name is Dan Orlovsky of ESPN, who ESPN did report that Dan Orlovsky, Adam Schefter, when we have him on tomorrow at 8 o'clock, we'll ask
him. Is Dan Orlovsky Schefter's source?
I would think he'd have to be. Like, if a story came
That's
out.
That's strange.
Like, if I broke a story about you, Bob.
Yeah.
Right? I think people would know where I got it. So that's why we all keep it in the circle of trust here. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Coming up, Trey, not only did you get a park dedicated to you yesterday, you also had, you gave a speech at Martin Luther King Jr. Breakfast.
Breakfast.
And you were moved.
Yeah, I was moved. I was crying.
The crowd was moved. You were moved. You moved yourself.
Yeah.
Kyrie Irving also gave a little bit of a speech yesterday on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. It was interesting. I think yours was better.
Yeah.
You quoted the Batman Begins.
Yeah, Batman Begins.
Kyrie Irving quoted himself.
Yeah, he was just quoting himself.
And might have put himself in the same category as MLK. Yes. So we'll get into that. We'll also get back into the Sixers game from yesterday afternoon. A phenomenal performance from Ben Simmons and the guy that the Sixers could have their eyes on per reports. Time of the Fanatic is 8:41.
Farset and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Coming up in this segment, we'll hear from Kyrie Irving, his wonderful comments made yesterday that we could all point and laugh at. Although, not the worst take he's ever had, as we talked about a little earlier in the show today. We also talk about who could possibly be better than Deuce Daly from on the names that we're seeing so far. And the 76ers took a page out of the Eagles playbook last night. Now, one of the things we enjoy after an Eagles win is Doug Peterson in the locker room clapping, getting the guys, you know, hey, great job. Way to be. Stack the wins, right? Uh-huh. All that fun stuff. We enjoy seeing the post-game celebration, the post-game talk that Doug Peterson gives his team. Well, Brett Brown, guess what? The Sixers took a page out of the Eagles book and released Brett Brown addressing the team. And I'll say this much. It's Brett Brown like you've never heard him before.
Wow, no accent?
He's doing a Joel Embiid impression, which is really funny. Actually, he's doing Michael Caine's voice, which is just really
better.
Which is just really wild. But to set the scene for you, and we'll let you hear a little bit later. But Brett Brown's on a chair in the locker room, and he's speaking in a tone that is in awe of his team over the way they won. He loved so much the way they played the game last night. He was just in awe of his team. And it's a really wild thing. If you haven't seen it or heard it yet, we'll play it for you a little bit later in this segment. But it is nothing short of great. But first, let's point and laugh, Trey. Because yesterday was a very sacred day. Today's Bob's pointing at Pat Egan, let the record show.
And
laughing. Pat's in today for Jamie Lynch, who's out. Pat, I respect you, and I appreciate you coming in on short notice.
I just don't know why I need to get bullied by this guy. I don't like you.
So today, Trey's back. He was doing a talk yesterday after also having a park dedicated to him in his hometown of DeLand, Florida.
Uh-huh.
And afterwards, you also did a talk for MLK Day for a nice breakfast.
For a breakfast,
and
yes.
You made a great point with people. You really hit close to home for a lot of these people because you also gave them a quote that helped inspire you.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, as a human being, not as a football player, but a quote from Batman Begins given by Liam Neeson in the movie, you invoked a quote from him on MLK Day.
Yes, I did.
And what was that quote?
The quote simply says, if you devote yourself to an ideal, you become something else entirely. What's that? Legend. But in the quote it says, a legend, Mr. Wayne.
Mr. Wayne. So you took that part out.
I took the Mr. Wayne out.
Which is good. It's good on you for doing that. Not good on Kyrie Irving. Because here's how he addressed the media before yesterday. Now, he didn't play in the game. Before yesterday's Nets-Sixers game, here's Kyrie Irving on Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
When I was out for those 7 weeks and not saying anything, and still people are still saying things about me, it's inevitable. You know, they crucified Martin Luther King for speaking about peace and social integration. You could go back to historical leaders and great people in society that do great things, and they're still going to talk shit about them. It is what it is.
There was definitely a comparison to Martin Luther King Jr.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he was persecuted. They say bad things. The Gandhi is another one.
Jesus.
You brought up Jesus earlier.
Yeah.
I don't know why those names were left off the list, but they were.
Mm-hmm.
Nonetheless. So he goes out yesterday and he says that we all point and laugh.
Yeah. So he's trying to equate his not saying anything to...
People can come down on me because, you know, they've come down on people like Martin Luther King and Jesus and also, how stupid are they to come down on them? That's how stupid they are to come down on me.
Just real quick, I want to make sure he wasn't, he didn't say anything about Jesus. It was just,
no, he didn't.
It was just
bad. Yeah.
That was us.
But he said
that.
Other
That's
people.
My fault.
But he did say other people.
Yes.
Yeah, other people.
We'll just assume he meant Jesus. I mean, how out there are you?
Well,
you play basketball. People come down on me like they did Martin Luther King. He was assassinated. Shut up.
Yeah. that's where it's interesting. And I will say this. Once again, almost in Kyrie Irving's defense here. Yeah, I'll be that guy.
Really?
That's not his worst take.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Let's not forget he is also a, I don't know what they're called. Are they called flat earthers? Flat earthers. Thank you. Yeah. Flat earth.
Oh, that's
he thinks
the
world is flat.
Let me Google this.
Flat earthers?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, but see, him saying he believes the world is flat, that's just dumb.
Yes.
Him saying what he said yesterday is dumb and ignorant.
Because we've seen the Earth. We yeah. know that it's round. But it's a group of people, Trey.
It's a .org, I see.
Well, yeah, it's an organization.
Yes. It's a group of people that I think fall back to Christopher Columbus's time, where people allegedly believed that the Earth was flat. However, people at the time did not actually believe that the Earth was flat.
Yeah, it was, like, known at the time.
Yeah, it was very well known, as a matter of fact.
He thought it was pear-shaped. What a nerd.
He thought the Earth was a hexagon. How weird is that? But
That's what you should start.
The hexagon?
Yeah, not that the Earth is flat, but the Earth is a hexagon.
That .org. That's what I'll go
obviously,
with there.
Yeah.
So, Trey, you're reading up on this right
yeah,
now?
Just checking out the flat
are you entertained?
Yeah, this is awesome.
Trey's going to come in tomorrow and be completely convinced.
Nah. Good.
Get some like, YouTube videos.
Well, wait,
seeing like satellite pictures of it.
Who was it? Tristan Thompson? Who was it that took a flight in the NBA and brought a level with them and then took a picture to show that the Earth was flat? Did you see this?
I did not.
This was like two or three years ago.
I feel like he had his hands, you know, kind of busy with Chloe. So I don't think it was him. It could have been, though.
Just getting some mile high action. What are we talking about here?
But we were talking. I don't know. I blacked out for a second. Let's get Philip on the cell. What's going on, Philip? Hold on, Philip. I just had to look at this real quick. It says on the mobile.
Yeah.
It's been a while. It's been a while since I referred to anyone on the mobile. But Philip on the mobile, what's up?
Yeah, I had that big bag with me on my side. You know? and who knows how many keys. Never mind. Get that.
What's up, buddy?
You know, I want to, if I could squeeze in two comments, hopefully, on coaching. One is the Eagles and their assistant, their offensive coordinator search is, I think one of the Eagles' problems is they're always trying to be innovative when it's not necessary. Like, you know, I think somebody mentioned Jeremy Bloom or something like that the other day with either a draft pick or, you know, trying to get the new young coach, you know. Like, dude, just get something basic. Not basic, but get a somebody who you know can get the job done with experience. Because here's the thing with a guy with experience, as opposed to someone who's new or brand new in some way. That person with experience can see something that's happening or about to happen because of all their years of experience. They've seen everything. And they can mention, like, hey, this is about to happen, or they may fall for this thing because this formation looks like this, and they typically do this in this situation. A young guy may not see that. A young guy may be innovative. Innovative on what? Nothing's changed. You just do things a little bit differently. You dress it up a little bit differently. But basically, everything is for the most part the same. How innovative can you possibly be? So they just want the new thing and be fancy towards their other owners in the league, are like, hey, I got the new one. You don't got the new one. I got the new one.
Right.
It's stupid.
Yeah. Well, Phil, I'll just say this. Experience is the rule. Innovation is the exception. If you understand what I'm saying, if you reverse that, like you have guys that are younger and good. Sean McVay, look, it wasn't a great year for the Rams, but the guy was coaching in a Super Bowl last year, which they lost, but he's still a young coach. Matt LaFleur goes out there, granted with a great quarterback in Aaron Rodgers, and goes out there and does well. Experience is ultimately the rule, but sometimes you do have the exception where you have younger guys that come into the league and they flourish. I'm not saying Mike Kafka is that guy. If you're asking me if it's between Kafka or Deuce Staley, I'm hiring
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.